Let's come before the Lord in prayer. Heavenly God and Father, we gather once again together in your name this afternoon. And it is good that we may come together and have that wonderful promise that in that day of salvation, we may draw near and that our thirsty souls may draw that water, that living water from the wells of salvation. And as we come to you and as we consider all that our Savior has done, as we've just confessed, who came to save us, who died on the cross, who rose from the dead and sits now at your right hand. Father, we thank you that there is so much to draw upon. Whatever we may face in this week ahead, whatever is on our mind, that we may have reason for hope and to give thanks. And we thank you that you have then so clearly shown us your truth, the truth about salvation. For as we come here this afternoon and as we'll turn again to your word, we humble ourselves because we know that it's not easy to understand your word. It is not easy to come to faith in Jesus Christ and to truly see him as a Savior. And yet you have worked in our hearts by your Spirit to grant us faith, to show us the truth, and given us that confidence that we rely and live by your teaching and live in Christ. And so we pray this afternoon that you would continue to share the gospel, spread the gospel, especially with those who have turned away from the truth. Father, who are deeply wrestling with it, be near to them and draw them in that they may hear once again those truths that are so important for all of life. And in the meantime, Father, would you also work in us? Would you transform our minds, fill them with your word, that we may truly confess your name as our praise? That we would truly believe that there is only one name under heaven by which we may be saved, and that is the name of Jesus Christ. And so may we do all that we do this afternoon in his name. Amen. In connection with our reading from the Heidelberg Catechism, we'll first turn to the letter of James. And we'll read James chapter 1, verses 1 through 18. James has quite a bit to say about prayer, and the way that the letter to James is written, it's kind of spread out, but there's a lot in those first couple of verses, verses 1 through 18, that we can draw on to make this, to see the same points made within the Lord's Prayer. So James chapter 1, we'll read starting at verse 1 through to verse 18. Hear the word of the Lord. James, a servant of God and of the Lord Jesus Christ, to the 12 tribes scattered among the nations, greetings. Consider it pure joy, my brothers, whenever you face trials of many kinds, because you know that the testing of your faith develops perseverance. Perseverance must finish its work so that you may be mature and complete, not lacking anything. If any of you lacks wisdom, he should ask God, who gives generously to all without finding fault, and it will be given to him. But when he asks, he must believe and not doubt, because he who doubts is like a wave of the sea, blown and tossed by the wind. That man should not think he will receive anything from the Lord. He is a double-minded man, unstable in all he does. The brother in humble circumstances ought to take pride in his high position. But the one who is rich should take pride in his low position, because he will pass away like a wild flower. For the sun rises with scorching heat and withers the plant. Its blossoms fall and its beauty is destroyed. In the same way, the rich man will fade away, even while he goes about his business. Blessed is the man who perseveres under trial, because when he has stood the test, he will receive the crown of life that God has promised to those who love him. When tempted, no one should say, God is tempting me. For God cannot be tempted by evil, nor does he tempt anyone. But each one is tempted when, by his own evil desire, he is dragged away and enticed. Then, after desire has conceived, it gives birth to sin, and sin, when it is full grown, gives birth to death. Don't be deceived, my dear brothers. Every good and perfect gift is from above, coming down from the Father of the heavenly lights, who does not change like shifting shadows. He chose to give us birth through the word of truth, that we might be a kind of first fruits of all he created. Well, that's the word of God for us this afternoon. Let's continue to sing also of our desire, not just to be near the Lord, us 84, but also our need for him, even beyond food and drink, Psalm 63, stanzas 2 and 3. Our text this afternoon comes from the Word of God as it's summarized in our confessions. This afternoon we'll be looking at the Heidelberg Catechism, Lord's Day 50. And so we're making our way through the Lord's Prayer, and we've come now to the fourth petition. Lord's Day 50 of the Heidelberg Catechism asks, what is the fourth petition? Give us this day our daily bread, that is, provide us with all our bodily needs, so that we may acknowledge that you are the only fountain of all good, and that our care and labor and also your gifts cannot do us any good without your blessing. Grant, therefore, that we may withdraw our trust from all creatures and place it only in you. Brothers and sisters in our Lord Jesus Christ, Any of you here familiar with the concept of being hangry? Any of the households here have it, you know, that 30 minutes to an hour before supper time as dinner is being prepared and there's good smells that suddenly everyone's just at each other's throat or there's an increased chance of crabbiness. I'm sure many of you are familiar in one way or another. Doesn't it actually just surprise you or amaze you how it's possible that something as simple as food just can increase our mood by a mile, or its lack thereof also affect it negatively by miles? Yeah, we may even be aware, like, oh, it's this time of day, I just need, you know, some food, I need to, you know, have some more sugar. And yet we would still be in a challenging mood. Or we may see it very clearly in other people, not in ourselves. And yet, it shouldn't surprise us, and in fact, it makes sense. As people, every part of who we are, body and soul, physically, emotionally, spiritually, it is all connected. So that what we are dealing with physically is going to affect us emotionally and mentally, yes, even spiritually. And as we learn throughout the Bible, it's our desires, our wants, what we may call our needs, like food, like drink, that have a profound effect on us in many different ways. And you see this throughout Scripture, that it doesn't talk about our food and drink as, you know, something just physical, not spiritual. You just have to look at those stories in the Old Testament where the Israelites are complaining about they don't have enough food or they have manna, but they want something else, whatever it may be. And how that was a spiritual problem. Look to the New Testament in Philippians where it may say, like, of those who do not know God, that their gods are their stomach. Our gods are their belly because it's their desires, their wants, and they're just always living for it. What we eat, what we take in, what we want and desire, yes, even those physical things have a profound effect on us in many areas of our life. Now, those are many of the ways in which what we eat or drink may affect us negatively, or at least these examples. But this afternoon, we want to keep in mind, well, if there's the danger of that negative influence, then what about the positive? How can we, in the way that maybe we pray for what we eat, and the way that we may eat and drink, affect our faith positively? How can we use this connection to increase our faith, to continue to grow? And how does the Lord Jesus Christ teach us that in the Lord's Prayer? He gave us that petition. Give us this day our daily bread. And as we went through the Heidelberg Catechism and his explanation on it, you see how it actually ties this, it talks about this connection. Kind of boiled it down or distilled it. It says, you know, Lord, give us what we need so that we may spiritually grow and acknowledge you as the only fountain of all good. That we may withdraw all of our trust from anything else and put it only in you. That it is in the way that we pray for those physical needs that we may grow, yes, in faith, and we may grow spiritually. But to get there, and kind of to see how does this happen, what may be on our mind as we pray this, we will consider the position of the fourth petition in the Lord's Prayer and what that teaches us and how that teaches us the right way to pray, give us this day our daily bread. That's why I have it as a lesson on petitions in the fourth petition. Now, as we get to the fourth petition, if you realize, we're actually kind of like at the center of the Lord's Prayer. And it's maybe good to consider, you know, what is going to come up, what are we going to be looking at in the next couple of weeks, and what have we already looked at? Because we may actually see that Jesus does also structure the Lord's Prayer very well. And if we're looking ahead, well, in all fairness, we may have some questions or wonder, I can't quite say for sure where what the order teaches us as there. But look, think about it. We pray, give us this day our daily bread, forgive us our debts, as we also have forgiven our debtors, and lead us not into temptation. Ever strike you before how it's the physical needs, our daily bread that we ask for first before all of these spiritual blessings? All of these spiritual blessings that we maybe most associate with, like, yeah, that's what I need Jesus for. They come after our realization that we actually trust him for our physical needs. Don't right away have a very clear message on what to make that of that, but is it maybe a reflection of Jesus' own teaching? That our Heavenly Father knows about all of our needs. That he knows that we need such things as food and drink and clothing, that we worry about them. And if you remember Jesus' own words, say, don't worry about it because your Father knows you need them. But seek his kingdom first and above all things. Or is Jesus already just notifying us on humility? Which will come up again much this afternoon. Humility. We are such dependent beings. And even, yes, we live day by day, and every day we got to eat. Every day we need to drink. Otherwise we wouldn't survive. Spiritually, our soul may go on and on. It doesn't need that nourishment. Although we know, of course, because of sin, we do need Christ. But physically, we are so dependent. Regardless, it shows us clearly that God is well aware of our physical needs. And that salvation and our faith is not just a means to get spiritual benefits or about God's involvement in that area of life. But that the very labor that we do, the very work that we do, the very food that we eat and drink, it all comes from his hand. That's what we observe looking ahead. But then you think about looking backwards over the things that we've covered in the last couple of weeks, there is also a lot to observe. Jesus has constructed this prayer in such a way that we may call a true petition, or like a self-centered petition, appears only midway. Now you think about all the other things that we pray in the Lord's Prayer. It's all about the Lord himself. Hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come. Your will be done. And only then that we turn to ourselves. Give us this day our daily bread. I mean, this stands out because it's an important lesson for each one of us. Any book, any lesson on prayer often touches on this again and again. There's great acronyms, maybe you know them, like joy, Jesus, others, yourself, acts. Start with adoration, confession, thanksgiving, then petition or supplication. Because we all realize we need this lesson and Jesus gives it to us. Consider his name, his kingdom, and his will before we get to our petition. But it's not just that isn't just a lesson about order. Because if we truly pray this and truly take to heart what we've looked at in the last couple of weeks, that is going to affect also the way that we pray and how we phrase our petitions. There are important lessons to be drawn from the first three petitions that teach us how we may rightly pray the fourth petition. And there's kind of three points that we'll come back a couple of times as we go through that this afternoon. For those who are taking notes or wanted, try to remember what was in the sermon. Three points that Jesus teaches us. We pray with confidence, pray so we may have perspective, and we pray humbly or with humility. Those three are taught in the first three petitions. Those three are also color the fourth petition. And lastly, I'll also show how they pop up also in the letter to James. So confidence, perspective, and humility in the first three petitions, in the fourth petition, and in the letter of James. Now first, before we get to the things that we need for ourselves, we're given a reason for confidence. And this is, of course, where we started so many weeks ago also in the Heidelberg Catechism. Requests aren't put last or after having turned to God because well, we're not sure if God's going to give us anything, and we better, you know, suck up in some way, or we're like, I don't want to bother God. I wouldn't dare to ask you, but I'll just tag it on at the end. Although we somehow have to put him in a good mood first before we can make our petitions clear. None of that. Maybe how we pray, but that's not what Jesus teaches. When we pray, when we start the Lord's Prayer and we say, Our Father, we may, as Jesus teaches us, trust that God is our Father. And He wants to give us, as a parent, those good things that we need. It's what Jesus taught again and again in the parables. Pray. And pray to God as a Father who will give you good gifts. If evil parents already won't deny their kids here on earth the good things, how much more such a heavenly Father will not deny us what we need? And what does that do? It gives us confidence. God is our heavenly Father who will certainly hear our prayers and give us good things. But this is also where we gain perspective with that confidence. Because it would be wrong to think that confidence equals being sure that we'll receive exactly what we're going to ask for. Why? Well, because as we gain confidence as God, as a Father, we start to see that our views of things that we think we need, or that we are tempted to ask for, they are skewed. They can be terribly misguided. The Lord teaches us that we need healing in our desires. We need to have our eyes opened, which is so much of what the first petitions of the Lord's Prayer do. Father, let me see how great your name is and how it is. It's not about my name, but about yours. Lord, let me see how there's such great hope in your kingdom. It's not about my own. Lord, let me realize that my will is sinful and deeply flawed so that it affects also those things that I pray for. And teach me to want to do the things that are your will and not my own. Set me straight. If we truly and honestly pray the first three petitions, we gain perspective. Our eyes are open. We have to realize those things that we may not have focused or thought of before. We then get to what we may be looking for or praying about, our supplications. We get perspective. So we see ourselves in a different light, from a different angle. And of course, if we do that well, then that will also humble us. Gaining perspective opens up our eyes. It starts to show us our wrongs, and you gain the realization that not everything you are going to ask for is actually going to be good for you. As parents, could you in good conscience give your kids everything they asked you for? And kids, have you ever asked your parents something that you realized, I shouldn't have, I really asked that. That would have been... Thankfully, your parents said no. We've all asked for things that would not have been good for us. So maybe short-sighted. We didn't have all the wisdom that your parents had or that other people around us had. Even if we didn't realize it then, maybe thankful afterwards. But here's the beauty of things, that also as God teaches us that He is a Father, He says, you know, He's not just a guardian. Say like, no, you're not getting that. No, you're not getting that. He's a parent. The Puritan writer Richard Sibbes summarized God's answers as a parent like this. He said, God answers in value, not in kind. God answers in value, not in kind. And any parent who has said, I can't give you that, but maybe gave something of greater value, but not exactly what they're asking for, recognizes what he's getting at. can humbly understand what God promises to do for us. He doesn't just consider the request, but also the need and where that comes from. And as we learn to pray for God's kingdom and God's will, we learn to humble ourselves in the fact that we do desperately need, all of us, God's wisdom in order to receive the good things we need. And not those things that may actually be harmful for us. And when we consider the fourth petition in the reading that we did in the letter of James, we see how the fourth petition is shaped by all three. The way that we ask for our daily bread, the way that we pray for our daily bread, does have its own way of speaking confidently and with perspective and humility, as Jesus, of course, teaches us to pray. Just think about it. Give us this day our daily bread. There's great confidence in that. But just in one word. Give. We may not think about this all the time, but that is a very confident prayer. We're so used to it. But that, isn't it? A confident word? Give. There's so much that goes into it. Not first that God is such a, not first, least that God is such a God that you would expect him to give. That he is a gracious giver of good things. Right? We don't pray, and Jesus didn't teach us to pray, all right, let me earn God, let me earn this. Or, Lord, if I give you this, can you give me that? Somehow in exchange? Prayer is not, as Jesus teaches us in petitions, is not a technique that somehow you barter with God and somehow wrestle from him what you deeply wanted. We ask him to be good to us and give. Is he going to get anything back? Are you offering anything in return? Just ask him to give. Confidence. Boldly. To ask so freely from God. But that is what Jesus teaches us. That is even what James is getting at as we read those verses. As he says, you know, anyone lacks wisdom, ask God. But do that not as if like maybe I'll get some there, maybe I'll get it elsewhere, but might as well ask God anyways. No, ask God and be boldly, do it with confidently that you actually expect him to give. Because he is a giver of good gifts. Because you know that you don't have to earn it. Because you realize that there's nothing that you can offer God that somehow would deserve it. Be confident. Know who God is. And in your heart, don't doubt that you have to earn something or that he will turn you away because, oh, you've just asked too much of him. Instead, let prayer be confident, especially as you ask God for things he has promised. But in the request, there's also a sense of perspective and humility. And they really go hand in hand, so I don't want to separate them too much. But just think about that petition. Give us this day our daily bread and what perspective and humility may be found in it. Because don't those words, like this day, have a built-in sense of perspective? For most of us, probably when it comes to grocery shopping, we're thinking a week ahead. Financially, we are thinking months, maybe even decades ahead and planning towards it. We are always going to be forward-looking, often without pause to consider, what is God doing today? What has he supplied that is just wonderful today? Because then we fail to see what God has done for us this day or yesterday, it's very easy to lose perspective on what we may be confident he will do in the future. Right? Perspective is not just about getting a perspective on who we are and compared to God. It's also about gaining a perspective on time and life and how we live and how really we live but moment by moment, one day at a time, and every moment. Remember this, right? Every moment, we're just as dependent on the Lord as the next. Every moment we will be, even if we don't acknowledge it. Every moment we are as reliant on him as today. You're not praying for bread for today so that next week you can do it on your own. Or that, you know, in a couple of years you've got to figure out you won't need him anymore. No, perspective in the fourth petition teaches you that you are reliant on him today and you will be tomorrow and the day after and as long as you live and onward from that. And perspective in this prayer teaches us to confess that that is just actually a wonderful place to be. And James seems to put it so well when he calls God the Father of all lights, in whom there is no shifting shadows, who does not change like shifting shadows. And think of him, think about the heavenly stars and the sun. And you know, we all know that they'll change and time changes and seasons change, but he's like, God is unchanging. Above that, our prayers change. Our desires change. Our vision of the future, it continues to change. But James says, when you ask God, when you come to him as that giver of good gifts, consider him as the one who doesn't change. So that as reliant as you are today, so he will be tomorrow. But God will be the same and the wonderful distributor of good gifts throughout. So that we may have perspective and that confidence for today. And lastly, there's the note of humility. Jesus teaches us to pray our daily bread. And these words echo the Proverbs of Agur in Proverbs 30, where he in wisdom prays, you know, give me neither riches or poverty, but only my daily bread. If you know what Agur is getting at there in Proverbs 30, you know that he does so not because riches are inherently evil, not because poverty is inherently evil, but he knows that he will be tempted in both circumstances. Wisdom has taught him humility. It's like, so easily, Lord, if I'm too rich, I'll forget about you. So easily, Lord, if I'm too poor, I'm thinking that it's all up to me. I'll cheat, I'll steal, try to cut corners. He recognizes that, Lord, you got to teach me my desires. Just give me what I can handle. Give me what is safe for me. Give me what I can handle so that I may serve you. He was well aware of the desires that were at work within him and the temptations that come with it. It's not unlike James in chapter 4. Another section on prayer where he says, when you ask, you do not receive, because you ask with wrong motives, that you may spend what you get on your pleasures. They hadn't wrestled with inhumility, with the fact that our desires can be wrong, and it can make us ask for the wrong things. And what they needed in their prayer was humility, which of course is what James then goes on to talk about. As we see this afternoon, Jesus teaches us confidence, perspective, and humility, leading on to the fourth petition, but also showing them in the fourth petition. And when we see that, we understand just how, as the Catechism says, our prayer for daily bread, but also for so many other petitions, maybe just also that affects us to have greater faith in the Lord, to put our trust in him, so that our physical needs, our daily bread, may affect us positively, that we may grow and continue to consider our Lord and his hand throughout it all. But this afternoon, we still have to wonder, still have to ask, because we still so often struggle in prayer. Yes, we should have confidence. Yes, we should have perspective. Yes, we should have humility. The great question, of course, is where does that come from? It's not just taught us in a sermon. It's not just those words that Jesus gives us that we may repeat again and again. But where James points us is to the greatest gift that God has given us. When James talks about, recalls that God is the Father of the heavenly lights who does not change like shifting shadows, he chose to give us birth through the word of truth, that we may be a kind of first fruits of all he created. He goes to the greatest gift, that God has given us new life, a new birth, that we truly may know that he is our Father because of the life that he has given us in Jesus Christ. So when you do struggle in prayer, or when you do try honestly to be confident, bold, to be confident, have perspective and humility, where do you go and where do you start? Start with that greatest gift. New life that God has given us in Jesus Christ. That the Father of lights is really our Father, not because we've learned to pray rightly, but because of the new life that he has started within us. So that all of our fumbling in prayer, all of the ways that we've been affected negatively by our sinful desires, are the old life that is disappearing and fading away. For God's greatest gift is that new life in his Son he has given us. And as he has promised us so much, as he has given this to us already, how can we not be confident in humility and with perspective that he will give us this day our daily bread as well? Amen. Let's now stand and sing.